Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. We certainly are. Is this the real truth about the Robert Kraft story? I was surprised to find this story yesterday on the internet because it wasn't all plastered all over the news. So I was like, man, this is a really important part of this story.
I haven't seen anything. I'm just waiting on the video.
I wonder where it is. Segment here is brought to you by your UA Local 100, and it's brought to you by 1-800-LAWYERS. If you've been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Franklin Frankel at 800-LAWYERS, the official lawyers of the TOLO, principal office, Dallas, Texas. So, yeah, there's a writer named Hallie Lieberman, and her story was picked up by Deadspin. That's where I saw it last night. She's a sex historian and journalist.
Oh.
Okay. So
okay, a sex journalist.
She's the author of a book called Buzz, A Stimulating History of the Sex Toy.
Okay. I need her.
Real.
I need her
dead
perspective.
100% real. Yes.
This is great.
I'm dead serious. She's currently researching her next book on the history of the sex worker. So she's kind of, you know, comes at this from that. This is what she does, right? She looks into
fuzz, all the STDs you can get.
The right. Sex industry.
She's off to a really strong start, I know, with our audience here.
Absolutely.
Buzz.
So the takeaway for me is, after reading her article, I'll just give you my opinion. Human trafficking is a very significant problem, but trying to solve that problem by staking out hookers is a really, really bad idea. And it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's hard to get a great grasp on how important the human trafficking issue is, or how prevalent it is. There's a better word. It's obviously very, very important. Women are getting stolen and they're being used as sex slaves. That's horrible. But how common is it? And what's the best way to go find it? So check out the story here. She says, I started with two questions whose answers were surprisingly hard to find. How many people have been charged with human trafficking in the recent Florida stings that caught Robert Kraft? And how many victims of human trafficking do police claim to have found? The answer to the first question, stunningly, is zero.
What?
Not a single person has been charged with human trafficking in connection with multiple sex trafficking stings in towns and cities on the east coast of Florida, including Jupiter, Vero Beach, and Sebastian. The owner of Orchids of Asia, Hua Zhang, was charged with deriving support from the proceeds of prostitution, soliciting another to commit prostitution, renting space to be used, and maintaining a house of prostitution. The vast majority of the arrests in both counties were of men soliciting prostitutes. On CNN, Martin County Sheriff William Schneider said police are trying to figure out why women would go and allow themselves to be trafficked. A press release from the Vero Beach police said Lanyan Ma, the owner of East Spa, where Detective Brock had his thing touched, has been charged with human trafficking. But neither the affidavit nor warrant show any charges under Florida's human trafficking statute. Instead, she's charged with prostitution, deriving support from the proceeds of prostitution, unlawful transportation for the purposes of prostitution, and racketeering. A spokesman for the state attorney's office declined to comment on whether trafficking charges are still a possibility. Did you guys hear anything about that, other than the offhand comment from yesterday from me that I'd started to hear rumors that there was no human trafficking involved at all in this entire investigation? Months, multiple police agencies spanning cities and counties all looking for it. What's happened here, guys, is it's been alerted. It is a horrible thing. And these stories, the anecdotal power of these stories as you're watching them on 60 Minutes or whatever the show is, it's like, holy cow, we got to do something about this. And we do. We absolutely do. But you can't solve this because it is literally like looking for a needle in a haystack. Give me 1,000 hookers. Is one of them being human trafficked?
You could,
yeah, you save that as
yeah,
a drop, Lucius.
You'd definitely get that later, on yes.
Ben Skin Show.
I'll take 1,001 hookers.
Okay,
make sure we get that clean. I don't know, but the bottom line is we're approaching a very serious problem, and when it turns out to not be any human trafficking, it's just prostitution. Listen, the police have been tasked with finding this. You guys just spent 2 months of taxpayer dollars, dozens of you looking for human trafficking. You got a donut. You got zero. So what we're doing is pretending like this prostitution ring is human trafficking and allowing the news to run with that and allowing the causes to run with that. They're raising millions of dollars every year. The problem is we're wasting that money. And the real problem of human trafficking is just continuing to skate because we're looking in absolutely the wrong places.
Where, I have no clue. Where should we be looking?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just asking, like,
where should we be looking?
I have no clue. Like, listening to you, I'm like, well, where should we look?
I don't know.
Well, I think the real solution, we should be looking to our congressmen and saying, why are you continuing to allow a market to exist in America where slaves can be brought in to perform sex? Because you're providing the demand. This law provides the demand for the trafficking. Because if it was not illegal, then we could have women become licensed. And if a man was to take a human trafficked prostitute, we'd be like, why are you doing that when there's thousands of legal ones over
that
here?
That would be interesting, as if you were pulling up on Harry Hines. I don't know. That was like the joke in high school. I don't know if Harry Hines is still the prostitute street. But if they're like, show me your license.
Yeah.
Got my license here.
Yeah, here it is.
Well, I tell you what, it runs out in 3 months.
Yeah, like, something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you'd have a part of town set up where they do in Amsterdam and other cities where it's just like giant high-rise apartments where that's essentially your office.
Yeah.
She comes into work every day and she has her STD card. Here, I'm clean. I can continue to work. And here's my licensing. And, you know, instead, I think that the question you brought up was brilliant, though. Where should you look? And I think the right answer is, up till this point, it's impossible to go looking for somewhere and find what you're looking for. Because the numbers are staggeringly small. In the entire state of Florida last year, they had 50 human trafficking cases. And you can imagine in every small zip code, there are dozens of women working as prostitutes. There are essentially these massage parlors. I mean, you drive around town and really start looking for them with the spa and the red LED lights and the tinted out windows. Those are J Shacks. You know what I'm saying? That's what's happening in there. They're all over the place. And 50 in one state. I mean, you essentially have to stumble into one of these human trafficking cases and be like, holy cow, I can't believe it. But didn't it seem bizarre and almost unbelievable last week when it was like, yeah, you know, there's 50 Chinese human trafficking women in there and they couldn't get out, you know? They made them cook their food in the back alley and they had to sleep there. But we
just can't find the people who trafficked them.
Yeah, we just...
They were stuck there and they had no choice.
They couldn't run down the street. They couldn't.
The people keeping them there didn't exist there, but they couldn't leave.
Yeah,
even though we didn't arrest anybody for keeping them there or bringing them there.
I mean, these women were being held as slaves against their own will for 2 months.
Right.
And the police was like,
who? The person that you just charged with prostitution?
It sounds like
you would charge them with human trafficking.
And there's no way any of these women even knew a shred of English, or there wasn't anything resembling a Chinese to English translator that could have helped them write a note like, please help me, I'm a slave, and hand it to somebody, or run down the street to a gas station and hand it to somebody, or call 911 and say, I speak Chinese. Is there anybody there that speaks Chinese I can talk to? It was a completely unbelievable story, but it's raising so much money. And then you have to look at it from the police perspective. They've been asked to go root out the human trafficking. We got a major problem in town here, folks. And I'll tell you what, I have reserved judgment on this story since it began last Friday because I'm reading the tone of the public. I don't want to be tone deaf. We're making human trafficking a massive story here in America. We have to be very sensitive to it. We can't pretend it's not a big problem. This is a huge problem. I mean, just look at all the specials. Look at all the nonprofits that are sprouting up to solve this. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take a back seat on my human trafficking truther here. It's not appropriate right now to bring this up. I damn well should have.
Couldn't keep him down for long, though, could you?
I you know what? It was my instincts, but I said, don't listen to your instincts, Dawson. Mm-hmm. They're wrong at least half the time, okay? Mm-hmm. Just shut them down. Mm-hmm. So I did, and I ran with this story, and I said, okay, this is horrible. You know what they're doing? I can't believe this prostitution business. It's leading to so much more human trafficking. We got to shut this thing down. But in the end, it's a giant ruse to suck your money like a big old vacuum. Let's get all that cash. We're going to save America from human trafficking. Well, guess what? The way to do it is to get off your moral high horse, write your damn congressman and say, hey, we're creating an illegal market. Why did drugs become so damn expensive in America? Making it illegal creates the demand to traffic it. Why are we creating a demand to traffic humans into America for sex when plenty of other civilized countries have decided we're going to decriminalize this? And now, bam, looky here, guys, you can have at it. We can protect the women. People that actually commit crimes against these women, now there's recourse against them. The biggest threat against women when it comes to prostitution is the damn law. It's not the human trafficking. You know, as a female sex worker, you get your ass kicked on the regular. You can't do anything. You go to the authorities. They're like, oh, you were committing a crime, huh? Well, you're under arrest, ma'am. So the whole deal of protecting the woman is incredibly hypocritical and ironic to me. That the way to do it is to take the law away instead of tasking police departments for looking for a needle in a haystack. It's just unbelievable, this story, the way it's been evolving. The writer here throws out some pretty compelling data, though.
I like that all this came from the same writer of Buzz.
Yes.
History of sex toys.
A stimulating history of a sex toy. These numbers are from Norma Jean Almodovar, sex worker advocate, former sex worker, former LAPD officer, by the way. This is here's a source that she was in police and she was like, you know what, I'm going to make this my cause. According to the FBI's most recent data, there were 65 human trafficking incidents reported in Florida in 2017. Florida ranked fourth in the number of incidents behind Texas. We had 193. Minnesota had 173 and Arizona 92. So again, my original premise, human trafficking is bad. We have to get very, very serious about solving it. I mean, sex slavery in the U.S. on our watch. I mean, come on. We tried to get rid of this over 150 years ago. Now it continues and we're not doing a very good job of solving it because we're pretending like prostitution is the same thing or that prostitution is rife with it. And being in denial about that is what is continuing to threaten these women, their lives. Women are dying over this. Okay, this isn't quite as serious, but I do have another question for you gentlemen here in the G-Bag Nation.
Okay.
Why would a superstar champion not want to keep his championship rings? We had this story, what was it, 6 or 7 years ago with Kirk Gibson.
Okay.
He sold all his stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he won what, 5 titles? Did he get 5 titles?
I believe so. I think that he has 4 with the Lakers and then 1 with Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's putting up his 4 of his championship rings for sale. Says he does not need the money. His explanation makes me think he's a pretty awesome dude that maybe we haven't appreciated for as thoughtful as he is and has as big a heart as he is. He was a jerk to a lot of people, wasn't he?
He wasn't,
Players and reporters, and he just wasn't likable for a long time.
Right, and you know, he was standing up for a lot of civil rights early on in his career as Lou Alcindor, and then changed to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So, I mean, a lot of...
That'll get you alienated.
Back in the late 60s, early 70s, that was a turnoff to a lot of people, right?
Okay, yes, I could definitely see that.
And so, because he felt like he was treated very unfairly early on in his career...
Yeah.
That, look, I'm not going to give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt.
Well, good for him. Well, he's definitely hooking a lot of people up here, and it's a really neat story. He says, my memorabilia has a history. It's my history, my life, and oddly, since my life is still happening and ever-evolving, I'm less personally attached to those items than I am to my desire to create new history and futures for others. Much of the proceeds from my auction will go to support my charity, the Skyhook Foundation, whose mission is to give kids a shot that can't be blocked. He says when he realized it came down to, he says he realized what it came down to was that he would rather have rings and trophies in his room or help as many kids as possible. And he says it was easy for him, so he decided to sell it all. Instead of gazing at the sparkle of jewels or gold plating, celebrating something I did a long time ago, I'd rather look into the delighted face of a child holding their first caterpillar and think about what I might be doing for their future. So yeah, he's raising a bunch of money in the Skyhook Foundation or the Skyhook Foundation at, it creates a lot of getaways for kids and opportunities to get out of underprivileged environments where they can, you know, experience the world and get opportunities to check things out.
It's pretty awesome when you read the story. And then I went to the page where he's selling all this stuff. Like, number one auction, 1989, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, game use, signed and inscribed, Spalding basketball, used for last points in career.
Wow.
38,387 points, NBA record. That is $85,000, the current bid. Ooh. Right now. It started off at $35,000. That's $85,000. His 85 championship ring is at $90,000 right now. His most valuable player trophy award from the 75-76 season is at $47,000 right now. I mean, he has some unbelievable things. If you're a big collector of memorabilia and you have a lot of money,
he's going to raise over $1 million, isn't
he? Yeah, he has like all of his all. I didn't know you get an all-star ring. At least in the 70s, you did. His 71 all-star ring is right now at $13,000. His 65 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, another ring, is $8,000. Like, he has not just those. Then he has all of his all-star jerseys, not all of them, but a lot of them. His 74 all-star jersey is right now at $18,000. His 75 jersey is at $16,000. He has a Lakers jersey up for auction. His 87-88 jersey is $15,000 right now. Wow. I mean, there's just unbelievable things on here. It's
a lot
not
of rich
just
Laker
his,
fans.
Yeah, if you're a Laker fan or a fan of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I mean, he literally has, I mean, you have, going down the list, he has 100 things up for auction.
Wow. All right.
It's probably a lot easier for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to do this than, and I don't say this to take anything away from him, I think it's awesome, but like the eighth guy or ninth guy on one of those teams who has one ring, like, he'll forever show everybody, like, guys, Kareem was there, and I played with these guys, and like, Kareem's like, I am me. Yeah. Like, I don't need to show you my trophy room. I was me.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
I remember that, totally.
Yeah, hey guys, you want to know what I did?
Yeah.
I'm Kareem.
I know.
Yeah, hi.
It's like he's going full minimalism on his own coolest stuff.
That's badass. Good for him.
I mean, I can't even throw out a Clyde Drexler Wheaties box from 1993.
And I guess
right,
when
but
you think
Clyde
about
could.
It,
I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No doubt.
When you're dead, you're dead. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, hey, I died and have all this stuff. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.